Hello and welcome to Plotress.
This is Meg.
This is Lane.
And today we're talking about Her Lessons in Persuasion by Megan Frampton.
This was just published in 2023. It is the first book in a new series, the School for Scoundrels series. And we did receive a complimentary copy from Happily Ever Avon.
All right. Book jacket?
Book jacket.
To Lady Wilhelmina Bettsford, the game of finding a husband is a competitive sport she wants no part of, until her much younger stepmama forces her to play it. So when her stepmother asks sexy barrister Bram Townsend to pretend to woo the amateur astronomer to boost Wilhelmina's popularity, it's up to Wilhelmina to navigate a fake courtship that will keep the family from forcing her into a marriage, any marriage, before she finally receives the inheritance that will allow her to live as she wants.
The trouble is, every time Bram takes her in his arms, she has a most difficult time remembering theirs is an act. The make-believe passion feels very real indeed. Bram Townsend is a man on the way up, living for his books and his beliefs. Squiring Lady Wilhelmina through London's dusk-to-dawn social whirl is hardly an ordeal. She's beautiful, bright, and bold, everything he finds tempting in a woman. Their deal means he can meet the best people while she keeps her family at bay.
The challenge is he quickly finds himself wanting her to say yes when she's so determined to say no. She persuaded him to make this impetuous bargain.
But how can he convince her to make it real?
How, indeed?
One of my favorite things about this book is, and this jacket reflects it, is there's all of these like implied subterfuges that don't actually exist in the text. Like, yeah, him having more face time with society does benefit him, but that's absolutely not why he's doing it. And she at no point believes that's why he's doing it.
Exactly. You're right. One of the things I love the most about this book is like how forthcoming and honest they are at all times. It's
yes.
So great. It's just really good. I loved it. This book is really, really cute. I had a really fun time reading it.
Completely agree. This was extremely high on the fun quotient.
Yes, extremely high on the fun quotient, indeed.
So as usual, we generated a random number between 1 and 50 and wrote our own summaries using the number we generated as a word count. I will go first. When a lady astronomer and an orphan barrister are both virgins who have sworn never to marry, the question becomes, who will cave first when presented with true love and enticing carnal delights?
That is the real question. Yes, who indeed? Who will cave first? I don't know. Maybe it's a mutual caving.
It's going to end up being mutual caving. It's an order of operations question.
An order of operations. Here's my 33-word summary. Oh, the difficult life of an upper-class spinster who will eventually get her inheritance. Luckily for Wilhelmina, Bram is the most supportive fake boyfriend ever, and he'll ensure no one proposes, besides himself.
Yep.
Tropes. As Lane mentioned, he's a virgin hero.
My turn. Usually it's Meg.
Usually I'm the one who throws it out there, but... yeah.
It's a fake relationship meant to keep them both off the marriage mart, but her stepmother has decided it's a fake relationship to entice other suitors. So you have like all of these different fake relationship tropes depending on whose motivation you're talking about.
Yeah. I think the interesting thing about this fake relationship is that many people know that it's fake.
Yes.
So it's not, they made a deal just between themselves and it's a secret. It's like her family actually proposed the deal.
Right.
And at first she was kind of offended, but then she was like, well,
she stays kind of offended at their reasoning, but she,
at their reasoning for sure.
She comes to terms with why he agreed, even if she doesn't think it's a necessary plan at all.
Well, she doesn't think it's necessary, but also she's like, I don't mind hanging out with Bram. And if he does keep the other suitors off my back.
It becomes a whole lot of, well, I guess if I have to spend time with someone, it might as well be you.
it's such a great one. I love it. There is a date auction.
Anachronistic? Yes. Super tropey in moderns? Yes. Was it so fun?
Yes. I loved it. I also loved, oh, there's so much to love about it because she actually doesn't bid on him. He's like a present from her stepmother. We will get into her stepmother because she was one of my favorite parts of this whole book.
What a unique character.
Yes. Loved. I really, really loved her, actually. I have a lot to talk about her.
Yeah, she was interesting. What I also love is the date auction is hosted as a charity event, which they always are. But it's a charity for this orphanage. And the orphanage is the way that all of the men who make up the school for scoundrels met. So it's very clear that this orphanage is going to be sort of the driving force behind the overarching plot of this book. Mm-hmm. And it's also clear that he's a sad, tragic orphan. Mm-hmm. And as such, this is a brotherhood of bastards. They're all sad, tragic orphans. But this is equal parts going to be about them finding love and finding out who their birth families are.
Yeah.
Pretty weak part of this book, but it was pretty clearly set up because one of them is going to have, like, a huge reveal.
One of them is going to be, like, the legitimate heir of some duchy or something.
Well, they all might be legitimate heirs of some dukedom or right. duchy or...
Whatever you want to call it.
Earldom or whatever. But one of them may also... Like, there are many more than one, maybe.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, we will know eventually because right. we're going to read all these books. We're going to read the shit out of these books. I can tell you that much.
Talk about Megan Frampton is my, like, I just need a palate cleanser.
Uh-huh. Yes. Now that we've discovered her, it's like, yes. You, like, did Megan Frampton write this book? Yeah, I'll read it.
She's a lady astronomer, eccentric blue stocking, who had a disastrous first season and has not tried to go back on the marriage mart since.
Okay. This part cracked me up, and which is why I put it in my summary. She has less than a year. Less than a year before she turns 25.
Yeah.
And gets to actually receive her inheritance that she got from, like, a maiden aunt or something.
No, from her mom.
From her mother. Who's dead. And she's basically been coasting. She's like, yeah, you know, no big deal. I'll get this inheritance and then I'll be able to move to the country and stargaze. It'll be totally fine. And then her stepmother shows up and is like, you need to get married. And it just cracked me up because I'm like, she had 9 months. Literally 9 months to go. That's it? And it was like...
In fairness to her, it was ridiculous. But her father and stepmother are trying to force her to marry against her will. So
In fairness, like, Megan Frampton made it make sense.
Yes.
I still thought it was hilarious.
She is still super privileged, but no one in this book tries to pretend that she's not.
Correct. All right. Anything else to talk about before we move into talking about the book?
Yeah, so they have goodbye sex. That is not secret goodbye sex. They both think it's goodbye sex for stupid reasons. There is the big scientific organization confrontation about not allowing women members, which is absolutely a trope at this point.
Totally.
And there is the housekeeper, aunt, whatever, woman in her life who is supportive of her. Sneaking around and helps her have the experiences that a young lady should not.
Yes, which I appreciate.
Absolutely. This is not a trope, but it fits in sort of the makeover trope. Both of these people are like shockingly good looking.
Yeah.
But like deliberately don't want to be.
Yes.
And so there is this moment where she has a big makeover, which you'd think would be tropey, but it's her being resentful. She's like, yeah, I know I'm hot when I try. It's why I don't try.
Yes. And Bram is just like, he's like the best. Doesn't he wear spectacles too? He's like the best looking barrister. And he's like, oh, I look too good to argue these cases in front of the court because everyone gets distracted.
And my friends who try with their clothes are boring.
This is super ridiculous, but I actually, one of the things I loved about the book is that Bram has these friends who love him and they're very good friends to him, but you know, everyone has their foibles and they kind of make fun of him a little bit, but she just really appreciates like he always wants to argue about things and he always wants to, you know, just really talk it out. And she just loves doing that too. And I thought Frampton did just a great job of making them be very compatible characters.
Yeah, it was a battle couple, but the battle is the sparring of wits, not just the arguing. It was really cute. And it worked really well.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this entire book, that's like my biggest thing to say about this entire book is that it is really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything from the beginning to the end and like all of the middle, everything was cute. Like, was there ever a time that I was like worried about a character or angsty or like felt like crying or anything? No.
Right.
No. But that's okay though. Like sometimes that's what I just really want.
Were there things about this book that frustrated me? Yes. Were there things about this book that upset me? No.
Correct. Exactly. That's the perfect division.
No.
That's right. Okay. So, this book too is also very short. It's like relatively short. And I think one of the things that made me laugh the most is that most of the book has to do with this fake courtship. But there's an entire like first chapter or almost two chapters where they have a meet cute. He thinks that she's trying to throw herself off of a bridge. And so he jumps on her and like, you know, pulls her off of the bridge. She's like, I was just trying to look at some stars. And they have a little sparring match as he walks her back to her house. And then of course they kiss. But then she's like, I'll never see him again. I don't even know his name.
That interaction was perfect. We often praise Elizabeth Hoyt for her prologues and how her characters meet. This was Hoyt without the angst.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God. You're right. That's what it was. It was Hoyt without the angst.
I'm talking about the intro, not the whole book, but like yes. The introduction was Hoyt without the angst.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. It was really great. It was a really great way to get to know the two characters, to get to know how they interact, like really quickly. In the middle of the action, it's not much action, but it's a little bit of action, and it was really fun.
Yeah.
It's great. And then, of course, there's a coincidental meet-cute. So she is a great patron of the orphanage. And so she's helped to organize the date auction. But she doesn't know, like, who is actually going to get auctioned off. So when she sees that it's him, she's like, oh, shit, it's the guy from the bridge. It was great.
She's also mad at him for being good looking.
Yes.
Perfect. Which I always fucking love. It's always like, ugh. It's just, I'm mad that I'm attracted to you because this is not what I was thinking would happen right now.
I love it. It's just all these like little cute mini tropes that are just so fun when you put it together. So good.
Absolutely. So her dad was widowed when she was 16, and her father, we've seen this relationship dynamic, and after reading so many toxic families of origin, I'm actually really refreshed by it.
Mm-hmm.
They have not had a conflict. They're just very different people. Like, mm-hmm. He treats her well. He wants her to marry, but he clearly hasn't forced her to up to this point. Mm-hmm. Like, they kind of just live and let live. He's not trying to stop her from getting her mom's inheritance. Like, she was well cared for. She was educated. He indulges her whims. He's bought her a telescope. But he just doesn't understand her on any level.
Right.
And he shows up in the beginning of the book, surprise, having married someone younger than Wilhelmina.
Mm-hmm.
And that could have been so angsty and, like, conflict-filled. But one, she has never been counting on receiving her father's money. So the fact that he may have more children is in no way, like, an invalidation of her ability to live her life. And the woman he marries is annoying as shit, but also so great.
I actually loved her so much because, you could have gone one of three ways. Way number one is she's an evil fortune hunter who just wants to get rid of this new stepdaughter of hers so that she can, you know, spend her new husband's money. Number one. Number two, she could have been like super naive. Choice number one is villain, basically. Mm-hmm. Choice number two is she's naive, but she ends up being a really nice person and maybe helping Wilhelmina out to like do her astronomy stuff and like argue on her behalf option. To her father. Yes, best friend option. So option one is villain. Option two is best friend. Option three is she's an actual character on her own who has motivations that both piss off Wilhelmina, but also support her. And I loved it. I just really, really liked this character.
I also loved the way some of Bran's behavior paralleled her father's. And like some of the things that frustrated her about him were things in her dad, and some of the things she liked about him were things in her dad. Like, I just, in a way, the thing that made Wilhelmina and her stepmother have moments of seeing eye to eye were the way they dealt with these men who had some like it, without it ever being like creepy, like, oh, she liked him for being like her father. You saw where, like, just like her father, he's very punctual and rigid, and just like Wilhelmina does for Bram, her new stepmom kind of makes her dad relax a little and see that propriety isn't always the most important thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, one of the parts that I loved the most was her stepmother wants her to get married. Mm-hmm. And at first she's like, she just wants to get me out of the house and like get rid of me. But that's not the case. Her stepmother wants her to get married because she is so happy in her marriage.
She also wants to get out of the house. But
she wants to get out of the house, but that's not right. That's not, to me, that's not like the great driving motivation behind it. She's like, she thinks the way I'm happy is when I buy new things, when I go to the balls. She's going to be so happy when she spends money on herself, makes herself look good, goes to the ball, sees how popular she can be. She's going to fall in love with someone, and she's going to,
it's going to be way more ego to it.
Yeah.
I'm this hottie who did everything right and got picked up by a wealthy man with a title by 19. Wilhelmina can use my help.
Yes.
So it's like, it's selfish, but it's also not mean.
It's not mean. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. It's not what Wilhelmina wants.
Right.
So it's not nice in that, oh, I'm going to help her out because this is what she wants. It's the, and we talked about this before, it's the, I'm going to give her a gift that I would like.
Yes.
Without considering what but her actual tastes are.
I'm doing this because it's the right thing and I don't care what she wants.
Yes.
It's the, oh, obviously this is what she wants.
Yes. But also she ends up being really supportive of Bram's courtship too, mm-hmm. which I absolutely loved. She wants her to be with someone who loves her. She mm-hmm. wants Wilhelmina to be happy. And she might get a little confused about what would actually make her happy. But once she realizes that she would be happy with Bram, and Wilhelmina's father is like, no, he's a barrister. Like, absolutely not. You need to marry, you know, into the upper class. Her stepmother's like, but
she never says Wilhelmina can't do things she wants to do, other than like kind of being disapproving of the concept of reading in academics and women.
Right.
It's more just like she fills up Wilhelmina's time with things she wants to do.
Yes.
It's like, it's the difference in motivation actually made her a far more complex character than we usually get.
I loved her. I really loved reading her too, because again, you come to expect certain things from certain types of characters. And when an author gives you something that's more complex and more interesting, it makes the whole book more interesting.
Yeah.
So every time they were on the page together, I was like, what's going to happen now? Like, what's going to happen? Is her stepmother going to feel cowed by her aristocrat father, right? And not stand up for Wilhelmina? No, she actually is like, look, what would have happened to our relationship if you applied? Basically, she's like, you're being a little hypocritical right now, sweetie.
And just for the record, this is how you and I can handle age gap. Have it be the B characters.
Correct.
Because we'd have no interest in reading about this like 45-year-old man and this 19-year-old girl.
No.
But make it her stepmother is 19. Okay, we can deal with this friendship.
It was fine. I liked it. I was super into it, actually. I think it just added an extra dimension to a book that I was already really liking.
Well, and you got the sense overall that, like, yeah, part of the reason her stepmother considered her dad was his ability to take care of her. And yeah, she knew he was older, but she also really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got the sense it wasn't this grand love match, but it also wasn't this mercenary thing.
Mm-mm. No, I agree. It was really fun. I really liked it.
Me too.
Okay, a couple more things. Just want to mention really briefly because they were just so cute. So Bram is in book club. And I loved it.
This is Regency Rope Romance Book Club. And they're all like orphans who they know their moms must have like had some struggles in society. So they're all super like sympathetic
mm-hmm.
to the plight of women. And that manifests in very different ways. But a lot of the books they read for book club are like feminist stuff, and they fight about it, but they fight about it from like a what side of good is right?
Yes. They're just so cute. And then Bram always finishes the book early, and some of his friends are always finishing the book late. And it was just a very cute little friendship.
But they also sometimes come to blows at book club when they disagree, which I thought was fun. Like, they still don't have the words to talk yes. about it.
Oh my God. It was great. I thought the book club was like, it's just a cute little addition. So cute.
Yes.
I mean, do we want to talk about the other stuff?
Yeah, I just say, look, overall, really, really, really fun read. Couple of minor critiques. Megan Frampton often used the exact same words to describe certain things, mm-hmm. only a couple pages apart. And mm-hmm. It really took me out of the story a couple of yeah. times, just because, you know, clearly I remembered a couple of pages ago, and picking such evocative descriptions and then using them over and over, like, kind of lessened their impact.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, again, minor quibble.
Very minor. We talked about this a little bit before. So he and his friends are in this brotherhood of bastards, basically. And at the end of this book, he discovers the truth of his parentage. I thought it was just a little bit too pat.
It was also telegraphed so clearly from like chapter one.
Yes.
This is what happens and why I'm like a terrible mystery reader, and you should not trust my reviews of mysteries unless I'm like, the point isn't to figure it out, because then I'm fine. Because I kept getting frustrated that no one was realizing.
Yes.
I was just like, every time you'd be like, why is she acting so weird? It's like, because she's his fucking mom.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. So that's on there. I agree. And then there is, as Lane mentioned, a great debate in front of a scientific society. I didn't love it. I'll just say that.
It was unnecessary.
There was a lot of build up to it. And then when you saw it, you didn't even actually see the whole debate. And I wasn't in love with it. Also,
it was primarily designed not to do the scientific debate thing, but to set up the final debate.
Right.
Which was cute, but also unnecessary. So it all ended up feeling a little bit pat.
It's a little bit much.
To use your word again.
Yes.
Which I just criticized Megan Frampton for doing. I totally understand why people do it.
Of course, people do it all the time. Okay. Content warnings. Are there any?
I don't have anything here.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is like maybe a little bit of adoption trauma. Right?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. He was, again, he didn't know his parents. He was raised in an orphanage. It wasn't a bad orphanage, though. Like, he wasn't abused. It's a great institution.
And all his friends went to really great families who all wanted children, and they were heirless. So they were all given to be heirs of these like middle class families.
Yeah. So, you know, this is basically adoption with the best possible outcome. But anyway, just know that, you know, it is in the text.
There's nothing angsty here at all.
No.
Like, there's not even anything sad.
No.
Even the way adoption is presented. Like, yeah, I guess if you have a lot of adoption trauma, seeing it presented as this like happy, easy thing, sure, maybe you want to know that. But it was, this book was so easy to read on every level.
Every level. On the other hand, sexiness.
It was cute.
It was cute. It was cute, sexy. Not as sexy as I have come to expect from Megan Frampton, because totally she can bring the heat when she wants to. I guess I do understand why there wasn't a ton in this book. Like, again, they're both cute virgins who connect by having witty debates. So this isn't like the sexiest book of all time.
No, and I think it's a shame, just because the way they talked about sex was very like, he likes being a little dominated by her. Mm-hmm. But I think realistically, but they both didn't have the vocabulary or experience to like play that out.
Mm-hmm.
But it had like the potential for kink that did not develop.
Yeah. The whole thing was really cute, though, even how, because there's only one scene. Two? Really? It was like one scene.
One at the very end. There's one real one and like a half one at the very end.
Thank you. Yes. And I will say it was really cute because
adorable.
She goes to his bachelor quarters and he's all worried that they're like, number one, that they're like small, but also that he's like a little bit messy. He's like not messy, but you know, just like this cute, you like nervousness that you feel when your crush comes to your place. Like,
shit, I got myself ready and I didn't realize that obviously we'd be coming back here. Oh no.
Yes. And I loved it. It was just so sweet and like really cute. And I'm glad that they enjoyed their time together, but could have had a little more. All I'll say.
I have nothing to complain about.
Right. Like, exactly.
This is all just could have done more. Could have had more. More. Yeah. More.
Yeah, because, and that's the thing. Like, when you like something, you want more of it.
Yep.
And we liked this book.
I'm really excited for this series. Brotherhood of Bastards is, like, for some reason, one of the ones that often really works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one, because a lot of times in romance, you have these, like, angsty male heroes. And one, like, being a bastard is a legitimate reason for trauma. So it, like, makes it easier to swallow when there's some mm-hmm. emotional immaturity. So seeing this, like, trope that is often deployed to provide an excuse for angstiness by an author who just does cute,
mm-hmm.
I'm loving.
I'm loving it. And I'm already ready for the next one. And it's going to be so fun.
So definitely check this one out. Thank you guys so much for listening.
We would love it if you would rate, review, subscribe, and check us out around the internet wherever you find Plot Twists.